Got it? That's better. Okay. Not everybody was able to go down for the time of healing, the teaching on healing. There were some things that came out of it that I want to share. The bishop said, and he said it rightly, that when you ask Christ into your heart, that you are given everything. That includes all the gifts of the Spirit, all of them. You may not operate in all of them all the time, but you were given a spirit of prophecy. You may only do use that once in a rare while, but you were given every gift, healing. Every gift is yours. All the power of God, all the power has been released in you. That's something that's already a fact. Another thing the bishop did as we were praying and doing things Friday night was he said, you also need a release of authority. And so what he did was with holy water, he went over every head, and he soaked us pretty good, and he just spoke authority over us. If you caught me going through and using the holy water over you, what authority I receive, I impart to you. If you didn't get the holy water or you want more, we're going to have time. I'm going to ask Father Tuck, if he would, to pray at communion over to the side, and he's going to have holy water for you to be blessed and to have that authority increased. That's not just authority for this building. You have authority in this world. Step out and ask for weird things, things that are odd to you, things that you may not be terribly comfortable with. The most you can do if you ask somebody if they need prayer is them to say no. And some people will say yes. Do you need healing? Are you feeling well? Or how are you doing? That's all it takes. George was going nuts. He was praying for people at Zaxby's. He was doing all kinds of things. He was an example to us down there. But you don't have to just be a George. You're who you are in God. Sorry, George. Not to put you down. Is he gone? There he is.
Now, praise the Lord that we're not all George.
So I just wanted to share that with you and let you know that you have it all. Now, words of knowledge, words of encouragement, anything that God would bring to your mind or heart, we want to hear. We're going to pass you a mic so that we can record these things. They only have to be a word or two. It doesn't have to be about somebody who's sick. It may be somebody who's been made well. It may be a very short testimony. We don't want to get these terribly long because we want to give people an opportunity. Okay, George.
Hey, I'm George. We went down to Selma, and we're hearing talks about how to pray for healing and then just a good old pep talk about doing it. And John Granberry was like, well, why do we sit here listening to this pep talk? Let's go out and do it. So on our 10-minute break, we left and went to AutoZone because he needed a light bulb. And there was a woman behind the counter who looked very put together, and we had been hearing a talk about how Jesus came for the broken. And so my flesh said, well, don't pray for this woman. She doesn't look broken. But I said, hey, we're learning to pray for healing. Do you have any pain in your body? And she said, oh, it hurts all over. And finally, she said she had some sort of, she thought she had strep throat, like an ear infection and a jaw thing. I said, could I pray for your healing? And she looked around like, do I have to go somewhere? I said, no, I'm just going to say, pain be gone in Jesus' name, and we'll see if it works. And she said, okay. So as John is punching in his PIN number, I said, pain be gone in Jesus' name. Then I opened my eyes and said, is anything different? She said, yeah, it feels warm. And I said, well, does it hurt? She said, no, it doesn't hurt anymore. It felt like pins or needles before, but now it doesn't hurt. Y'all are freaky. And I said, are you sure it doesn't hurt? And she said, yes. I said, you promise? And she said, yeah. And I was as surprised as she was that the Lord had healed her. But he showed up, and he did it. And I got to see a miracle right in front of my eyes.
Jonathan, you want to come up? All of Zaxby's.
All of Zaxby's.
Okay. First thing I want to say is for this morning, when I was standing in the back, I noticed some, there was for a couple of minutes, there were things that were dropping. Your cane dropping wasn't an accident. I heard other things dropping all around the room. And I want you to know God was dropping things off of each of you. I, things that have been blocking the Spirit, things that have been holding you back, things that have been encumbering your steps, we're dropping off, are dropping off, and I proclaim in the name of Jesus, will continue to drop off throughout this service today. All the entanglements, all of the distractions, all of the things that have been impeding our steps be broken off in the name of Jesus and fall off and go to the pit of hell. All right, so Zaxby's. You know, this is just one experience. We're all supposed to live this adventure. It really is an adventure. Every morning waking up and saying, Daddy, what do you have for me today? One of the things I loved that we heard at Selma was that our agenda has already been set by the Lord every morning. It's not us waking up and going, what do I have to do today? And going down a checklist. There are those things, and I'm not saying there's not, but God has a plan and an agenda for each and every one of us. Already mapped out. It's just up to us to get in line with it. And be sensitive to His Spirit to lead us to those contact points, those points of divine appointment, ordained appointments, ordained before the beginning of time. That's hard to get your head around, but it's true. And we had a little bit of one of those moments, and it's really cool when God starts lining this stuff up and you get sensitive to it, because it just starts to unfold like a treasure map, like a treasure hunt, really. Several months ago, I was in a Zaxby's. Jennifer was in the drive-thru, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I went inside. When I stepped inside the Zaxby's, I had an open vision. I saw me standing up in the Zaxby's and addressing everyone in the restaurant and saying to them that I wanted to pray for them. Ooh. Lord, you know I don't like to be a hood ornament. I really don't know if this is the Lord. I knew it was the Lord. But I didn't have the courage to do that then and there, and for good reason. It wasn't the right time. But as that vision developed, the Lord gave me peace, because He saw me directing everyone to the back corner where my friends would be sitting to receive prayer. So it was this heaviness in my heart. I started feeling it's still there. I've become more vocal lately. Part of that y'all can't see, but I have an angel sitting on me, and he's heavy. And he gets up whenever I yell hallelujah, and I can breathe again. It's that kind of stuff that's been going on with me. But so Robert and George and I got in the van and said, where are we going for lunch? And I said, well, I was thinking about going to Zaxby's. Wasn't thinking about this vision. It just, I had forgotten it, put it away, whatever. We start going down the road, and I said, well, I guess we're going to Zaxby's. Or George said, I guess we're going to Zaxby's. And then I heard the Lord say, yes, we're going to Zaxby's. Oh, and then I remembered. But I'm not backing off of this anymore. AutoZone, they told us at this conference that praying for people would become addictive, and it is. Especially seeing God move. Woo, that's fun. So as we pulled into the parking lot, I noticed there was not but just a few parking spaces available, and there were 8 state patrol cars lined up. And I got nervous. I was like, boy, they're armed. But I'm going to do it, Lord. I know you're telling me to do this, so... we went into the restaurant, and we first of all prayed for the lady that was serving our food. And she was complaining of having a stomach issue. And we prayed for her and told the pain to go, and it did. Then the lady next to her, we prayed for her. She had a sore throat. We prayed a couple times for her, and she noticed a warmth in her throat that wasn't there before. But she said that it felt better, but it wasn't completely well. Fine. That's a progressive healing. We'll chalk it up as that. But then we went back to our table, and I knew it was time. Robert was already back there eating. George was back there, and I stood up and addressed everyone in the restaurant. And I said, "Excuse me, may I have your attention, please? Some friends of mine and I would like to pray for you. If you have anything in your body that needs healing, my friends in the back corner would like to pray for you to be healed." I can't tell you the amount of relief I got from doing that. It wasn't so much even about whether someone came back to the table or not. It was just about a simple act of obedience for me. It wasn't about seeing a great miracle. Maybe in that moment I was the miracle. Seeing the fear and the fear of man be overcome in my life. Just saying. So we went back to the table and we started eating, and there was a group, the police officer were getting up to leave, and several of the folks that were in the corner with us from the conference, we all extended a hand to them and prayed for them and blessed them, and they're going out in their travels out loud, not just to ourselves, but we one of the ladies said, "Officers, we'd like to thank you and bless you." So we did that. And then George and Robert went out to the parking lot to start going through the parking lot praying for people, since no one was coming up to our table. And I was sitting there eating my salad, and I saw a man leaving to go out, and he had a cane. And I could tell he was walking with some difficulty, and my heart, every time, my heart broke. This day, I decided I'm going to, the word that kept coming up at the conference was refusing to accept normal as normal any longer. It's time that we all start to embrace the abnormal, the kingdom, as normal. Jesus said that we would do greater works than he did, and he raised people from the dead. Whoa, greater works. So I went and ran after this man. Didn't have to run that hard, but he was pretty quick for a man with a cane. And he had gotten out to the curb, and he was holding on. He was about to step across the drive-through line, and immediately that fear came at me again, and I was like, "Oh man, there's cars every 2 minutes. There's somebody at a drive-through that's going to be watching this." And it's like the Lord said, "And every 2 minutes, there's going to be somebody getting a glimpse of the kingdom." Ooh. But I couldn't. I'm not going back down anymore. I asked the man if I could pray for him. He told me his name. I introduced myself. Told me his name. Started praying for him by name. He had had a stroke and was left partially paralyzed in the left side of his body. George appeared, as he often does. Could easily nickname George Wind, because he comes and goes like the wind. Quietly, he just appears, and he's there, and then disappears. And anyway, we prayed for the man, and he was visibly shaking. His body, the Holy Spirit really invaded his body, and I could tell it had been a while. Robert came up, and we led him back into the restaurant because he needed to sit down. He was overcome by the presence of God filling his body. When he left that day, he still had a cane. He was still needing help getting out the door. But I do believe he experienced healing in his heart because of the words that Robert shared with him. And I'm not going to paraphrase.
Robert's got to do it.
Come on, Robert.
You have to talk to the mic.
Yeah, the gentleman was, the body, he was talking about how his body would.
I'll stand up here with you since I'm over the fear of man.
I'm just trying to reiterate how it happened. He was brought in, and I like Jonathan. When you see the man, it's like the scripture said, and Jesus' heart was moved with what? With compassion. So that same spiritual compassion that came over Jonathan just outside the restaurant came over me. And as I told another brother in Selma, I think it was, you called me up then too. It was in Selma. I said, sometimes God doesn't make it difficult. Sometimes he makes it real easy. And that was one of those moments where it didn't take a whole lot of persuasion that I needed you to pray for this man. So, and I immediately felt the electricity of the Holy Spirit coming through my body. And I knew it wasn't for me. I knew it was for him. So I laid hands on this gentleman, and sure thing, he started these nervous reactions were just continuing to go. And so I just continued to keep my hand on him. And then the virtue of the Holy Spirit was just being poured in this man. And as Jonathan said, there was no real physical evidence in terms of the immediacy of the moment, but there wasn't a doubt in my heart that God's Spirit was being poured into this gentleman. And so, of course, then I received a word. And the word, of course, was analogous to the condition he was in. He had had a stroke. And so I perceived to go on and tell him about, the condition of how God's going to raise him up.
You asked him if he'd ever been called to the ministry.
Oh, that's right. I asked him if God had ever called him to the ministry. And I just kept hearing the word minister. And so I told him that I believe he was supposed to be a minister of the gospel.
He said that he had been asked at one point, and he turned it down.
That's right.
That was a part of the ongoing thing that, and then you said to him, I'm not paraphrasing, he said to him, I don't know if you figured this out yet or not, but it's not really our choice. It's not really our choice to turn the Lord down when he calls you to do a thing.
Okay. I don't remember that, but you
did.
That
was really key.
Okay. And so, yes. And so I proceeded to tell him how almost like it's as if the Lord gave me a picture as to the present situation. The condition that he was in the present moment was no coincidence, in that God was going to not only heal his body, but he's going to use this gentleman to heal the body. Amen? Because the body of Christ is in a condition that needs to be reconditioned. Amen? And so we as God's people have to, as the bishop said this week, we have to encourage one another. What was that? Mark Waters said, the funeral song is over. It is time to prophesy wedding songs. Amen? And that's what God's people wants with his people, with the world around us. He wants us prophesying wedding songs. Amen.
And just one more thing. The things that we learned, the things that George and Robert and I and others that were there were doing, were real easy. It's just one more step beyond, hi, my name is Big John. What's your name?
Amen.
Is there anything I can pray for you? George and I prayed for five or six people on the front porch Halloween night, y'all. That was the most exciting Halloween outreach I've ever been a part of. Not because of the getup I was wearing, thank you, my wife, for all the trouble, but because God showed up on George's front porch and touched people. And I got to be a part of that. That was fun. I was in Home Depot yesterday. I'm just saying this. I'm not boasting in anything except in the Lord. But I want to encourage each of you to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit and how he might be directing you. Just, you brush past people all the time. Stop and feel for a minute and see. You may have a word for that person that may change their entire life.
Amen.
And it's simple things. I didn't try and convert the man that I met at Home Depot. I just met him. I didn't get into a religious debate with him. Oh, yeah, he's Muslim. I didn't get into a religious debate with him about Islam or any of that kind of thing. I asked him if he needed healing. He had sciatic nerve damage happening in his leg and his back. He felt warmth when I prayed for him. Did he get healed? I believe so. That was that healing. It was the start of it. I let him figure out who's God later on when he's alone with the Holy Spirit. But I know that that man got touched by the Holy Spirit at Home Depot. And that's all I'm responsible for. More things break off in the name of Jesus.
Well, I got healed.
Amen.
I had a horrible back pain, had a horrible muscle pain, and I asked some people to pray for me, and I was healed instantly. Okay? So I'm telling you, there's something God's doing today, and we better step into it. Okay. I'm gonna testify to a friend of mine, because we don't have a chance. We'll get hers on tape later. She walked into the door. She's been coming to Friday night. She's not a member of this church yet. I hope she will be. She's been coming on Friday night. Karen and I and others have been, Teresa, we've been praying for her and ministering to her on Friday nights. It took some very strong words to get her to come to Selma. I really didn't think she would show up. She has Lyme's disease. It causes many, many different brain functions to go crazy. There's just all kinds of issues in her body. But lights affect her. Places that she is living now affects her. And I'm not even going to go into all that. She drove at night 2 hours by herself to get to Selma. That's one of the things the bishop says that we need to do. Get desperate and get intentional, because God's going to show up. Well, she was intentional. She got there just in time for the night service on Wednesday night. Yeah. Doesn't matter. She sat down, took her packet, and was beginning to read it, and then all of a sudden she was shaking. She came back to me and said, "I can't stay. I got to go back to the hotel. I can't stay. The lights are driving me nuts." I said, "Hold on, wait a minute." Grabbed her by the hand and drug her. You know how I can be, folks. Intentional. But I took her over to Mark Waters and Father Craig. Father Mark Waters and Father Craig, and I said, "Pray for her. She's going to leave if we don't get rid of this problem. She's having a problem with the light." Man, Father Mark just went on it. I'm telling you what. She was healed right there, folks, of something. At least a layer came off, okay? Later on, she got prayer from everybody that she could get prayer from. She got prayer from the speaker, Mike Hutchins, which, by the way, runs Randy Clark's School of Healing, School of Supernatural, whatever. Look it up online in Pennsylvania. Big shot. But he was praising our bishop, y'all. He was praising Selma. He was speaking stuff over this revival. There's no telling what's going to happen in Selma now, because I think there's going we may even get Randy Clark down here, the way he was talking. But anyway, back to the story. Warren got prayer over and over again. She remained in that conference at most of the sessions for the entire time and got prayed for with the speaker and everybody else. I'm telling you what, she may not be totally healed, but she is majorly healed.
Other words, here comes Teresa. So much for keeping this short, okay?
I wasn't going to get up and say anything, but I'm not the only one going through something. Every time before I go to Selma, something major financial happens to me every single time. This was no different. It happened with my car. It was major. I said, "You know what? I'm going. I am going regardless." And it happened when I came back. The wind blew my glass door, and I thought it was the back door. I'm like, okay, we can deal with that. It was my front glass door. It's sitting on the porch. And I said, I am not. It came when we were on the way back. And Linda said, just turn the phone off. Just turn the phone off. Don't look at it. And I'm like, I need to see what I'm getting ready to walk into. And it took me less than 2 minutes to come back up out of that. So I'm telling you, when you go through something, stand. Stand through it. Walk through it. Hold his hand. Grab onto his coattails, because he's going to bring you out on the other side. I'm not the only one going through something in here. I know it because I could not sit there. My leg was shaking. And I'm like, I don't want to get up and say this, but I had to get up and say it. So whatever it is you are going through, if you have to lean, that's okay. But don't fall. Do not let him drag you down there. Don't do it. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He knows everything that happened before, everything that's going to happen, everything that happened after, in between, while you sleep and don't know what's going on.
That's right.
Stand. Stand on his word. Stand on his promises. Stand on his love. Ask for his mercy. Ask for his grace. Just do it. And what I took away from Selma was, this was the culmination for me. My grandson came down with the Mayos. He said he was coming, but I'm like, how are you going to get to Selma? I didn't realize that they were all coming. And he walked in, and I mean, the biggest smile just came on my face. I'm like, my grandson is here. Yes. But more than that, he got the impartation. Bishop, he did the same thing to him as he did to everybody else. And he was in the youth, and he was one of the first ones that got it. And I'm like, whoa, thank you, Jesus. And Bishop just went up and did like this. And my grandson went out. And I'm telling you, that does a grandmother's heart some good. I'm like, I know that there is a purpose on this boy's life. And God's just showing me, he's letting me see, I've got this boy. Because there was a Friday that I was here, and I was scared for his life with all the stuff that was going on in Ferguson. And I was scared. And George prayed, and some other folks prayed. And God touched his boy, and I know the anointing is on him. And I'm telling you, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see him pass the anointing on to your future generations.
Hallelujah.
He will do it, people.
Yes,
he will do it.
Yes, God.
Others? While Lee's coming up, hold on a second. I have Lee. I got a word of knowledge from Millie. You're going to have the opportunity, since you're the first person that people see going into the clinic, to actually pray for them out loud, because there are going to be healings that happen. Robin works there. Where's Robin? Hiding back here. There are other people who work with pro-life, that you guys are going to have breakthroughs in people's lives. That's a word of knowledge for you to take with you. Everybody here, people who didn't make it, who are feeling bad because they didn't make it, they weren't part of the big thing that was happening. You're actually part of the big thing that's happening.
That's right.
The authorities come here for you to have it today.
Amen.
Do be intentional. There is the part of being compassionate. You guys are compassionate people. I know you all. You're compassionate people. Be intentional. Open your mouths. God will fill them.
Yes.
Lee?
2 weeks ago when Bishop was here, I know some of you were sitting here when this is a word of encouragement, and Anderson got in line to get prayed for, our six-year-old, and we were late to three things we had to do that day, and Andy and I were like, okay, he's waiting in line 30 minutes in the back of the line standing next to Teresa, and what he watched as everyone was filled with the Spirit. And I don't even know, he had such intention in staying in line. It was just intention. it was his intention, but then it was God's intention, I think, on his life. And, you know, Andy and I were talking in the back, should we grab him? Should we, like, all right, no, let's just load everybody up and let him stay in line. And he watched as all kinds of beautiful things happened in the spirit. And when he got up, the bishop, he said, I want to be filled with God. And he just opened his hands and raised them up over his head. I don't know where it came from. And held them as high as he could and closed his eyes. And the bishop prayed for him and blew on him. And then he gently taught him how to pray in the spirit. And Anderson did. And 6 years old. 6 years old. He turned away. He turned around and looked at me. And his smile was from ear to ear. Walked out jello. I mean, his hand, I tried to hold his hand. It was like, it might as well have been like, walked outside and got in the car, and the other three kids said, what happened? He was glowing, now he's glowing with me talking about it. 2 hours, the smile would not come off, and we were all hurt. All our cheeks were hurting because his cheeks would not stop smiling. But the beautiful part about the word intention this morning on our intention, God's intention in our life. That was God's intention. I couldn't have orchestrated that. I couldn't have really even known how to pray for that. And then when I got home, I called my parents and told them, who can you even tell this to that your six-year-old prayed in the spirit? My dad said, you know, that was his confirmation. And I thought, that's exactly what it was. And here again, the intention of God with the mess and everything in our lives and not a whole lot of order here and all of the, God did it anyway.
He did it anyway.
Didn't have to go through a class. Didn't have to, he met him anyway.
Praise
so,
God.
It doesn't have to be long.
No, it's fine. I would have done it anyways.
Oh, I have to talk on mic. This is scary. Oh, it's scary. It's on the mic. Okay. No, I got it. You're too tall. You can't short. You had to duck down for me. When my mom first broke her ankle, I remember she sounded like a Swedish cartoon character. She always, every time you tried to get on the bed, she'd go, my ankle, like, watch my ankle, like that. And then I'd be like, okay. And she did that all the time when she first broke her ankle, on her crutches, everything, walking to the bathroom, my ankle. And so I, like, last week I stayed home from school and I was going through her stuff, like looking for a book. I wasn't being nosy. And then I dropped her book and, like, the picture of her ankle x-ray things came out. It had the plates and the needles and all that stuff. And I looked at it, and God said, I'm going to remove all of that. And I was like, whoa. And he was like, I'm going to use your church, too. And I was like, oh, gosh. I was like, are you sure? It's metal stuff. It's kind of stuck in her. The doctors did it for a purpose, you know. He said, are you questioning the God Almighty? And I was like, no, I'm questioning my church. And he was like, your church is strong enough. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to know, but this is in the metal plates. And he said, are you questioning I am? And I was like, yes. And he said, I will use them, and I am going to use them. And I was like, okay. And so, yeah. So apparently he's going to remove the metal stuff from your ankle. And we still say my ankle at home because she's, it's like an inside joke now. My ankle. She's the best at it. What? Oh, scary.
You don't have to come up unless you want to. Oh, you want to hear it? Come on. Okay.
I don't want to use it.
Which ankle is it? I don't need the microphone for this.
Is there anything you can't do right now? Like, is your movement restricted?
Run.
She can't jog.
Does it hurt at all right now?
Come on, Robert.
Come on, Robert. Three toes getting numb quite a bit. So.
This foot?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, guys.
Show me the bucket. Is it all right if I put my hand in? Okay.
I shaved my legs today, thank God.
Put that on the mic.
Father Church, you going to join us?
I'm Holy Spirit.
He is.
We speak healing in the name of Jesus.
Metal be removed.
Metal be removed. Dissolve. Melt away. Yes, Lord. Shatatabakietatabakurabatatabata.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, be glorified. Be glorified, Father.
I just feel electricity going through her body. We command the metal in her body to leave, to be dissolved, for the muscles and the tendons and the bones to be natural the way they were created to be. In the name of Jesus, we bind away from you merely any contracts of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Holy Spirit, we bind any contracts away from you. In the name of God the Father, we bind any contracts, any assignments against you in the name of Jesus.
And Lord, we speak blessing over Millie and her family, that they will be a light and a picture of your grace and a testimony to your goodness in this neighborhood and in the clinic.
Yes. We call forth life and healing in her ankle.
Yes.
Whole healing. As if it never was, Lord. Let it be as if it never was. In the name of Jesus. Thank you.
We bind all things evil away from you.
Yes.
And we break them in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We break all things evil away from you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We break all things evil away from you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Gift of healing in Maddie Lynn. Thank you, Lord. The gift of faith.
Yes.
Fill her up. She is a mighty woman of faith.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Surprise her, Lord.
Yes.
Again.
Yes, God.
What you do and who you are in her life. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Restore feeling in her ankle, Lord. Restore feeling in toes. Numbness, go in the name of Jesus. Any residual pain, go in the name of Jesus. Pins and metal things that men make, go in the name of Jesus. Tissues, muscles, bone be restored. Ligaments be restored in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Father. Have your way.
All right, I have a word for you, Millie. In the Old Testament, when Jacob had stolen the birthright and he was leaving town, and it's night, and he had separated from his family. He was exposed out in the wilderness. It's night, and the only thing, he didn't even have a decent pillow for a head. He had to use a rock. And he went to sleep, thinking he was isolated and in a bad place. And God showed up and showed him a ladder to heaven. And when he woke up, he said, I had no idea that this was the gates of heaven. That place that was an isolated place, a frightening place, would be a place where God would meet him in a unique way. And he took the rock that had been under his head and he stood it up as a memorial. And this, all of this, is a place where you are going to stand the rock up as a memorial.
Yes.
That every time you go by, you will see that rock and you will remember how you knew God in a powerful new way in that place.
It's not an accident that we're all in a circle around you. You are encircled by fellow believers, and you will now be encircled by the love of Jesus Christ, and it will follow you everywhere you go for the rest of your life. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we bless Maddie's faith to be a testimony to you. May you use her again in such a way, Lord, for your glory.
See how God sees you, to allow him to draw you into his heart in new and beautiful ways. It's I think Robert said something about prophesying bridegroom things. This is a bridal word for you, that God sees in the depth of your heart who you are. He loves you, he approves of you, and he's drawing you to him. All you have to do is say, you don't have to believe anything but him. Yes, Lord, and come with him. And it'll be a place of you building a new altar too, in faith with God. It's got big things.
If any of you would like to come up and pray for her, you're the church. Seriously. We're not special up here. We're not a part of the Mickey Mouse Club. Okay? So we're all the church that Maddie heard the Lord say, refer to. So please come up.
For a second, I can't believe I'm asking for it. And nobody's more surprised than I am that I'm asking for this. Hey, you can ask my husband. I'm Kim. I am married to Father Tuck. I was sitting in the back because I'm the speak louder lady and I want to be by the cool doors. And I felt like God was telling me to let you know that this is a place of healing and restoration, and that he is going to rain down, just, I could feel it raining down on my head. He is going to rain down blessings on this place.
It's so amazing that she's saying this, because this week, this is what I heard. This is why I was so today. Exactly word for words, what she just said, the baby just said, was exactly what I saw this weekend happen. I saw the whole thing. God said, by his stripes, we were healed. And if we were healed, we are healed. He said, and then I was laying in my bed about 2 or 3 o'clock that morning. He says, even you may feel a certain way in your body. He said, but you're already healed. How can you ask for something that you already have? He said, we already have it. He just wants us to believe it and just to receive it. Because, I mean, Holy Spirit is so powerful in here. I mean, it's just natural. In the natural, he's here. In the natural, in the spirit, in the natural, he's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. And he's doing his work even as we are praying for her, speaking.
Yes.
Mm.
Mm. Amen.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. These are things that you didn't ask for. These are things that have been put upon you. Mm-hmm.
generational curses. I speak to those generational curses in the name of Jesus, and I tell you they are not you.
That's right.
They're not to be yours.
Ooh, they're not. That's right.
You're to say no to those things. Yeah. They want you. Mm. You may have had dreams where things have been chasing you. Those are generational curses.
That's right.
But you have to say no. That's that is right. Not God's plan for you. But it is a part of your will. You have to exert your will. You have to say no. Just as you're hearing from the Lord, okay, you're going to have to speak back to those things. And you say no because they want to have you. And I just speak to those things right now in the name of Jesus. And I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would empower her, God, to say no. Lord, I pray for truth. Truth in her innermost parts. Truth in Millie in the name of Jesus. Truth, Lord, let truth reign. Let truth reign in this family in the name of Jesus. We just break off lies in the name of Jesus. Lies that have been perpetrated by the enemy. Lies broken off in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your truth reign. Truth reign in Maddie's heart. Truth reign in the Lynn household, Lord. Let your truth reign, because where your truth reigns, Lord, there is freedom in the name of Jesus.
Yes, there is, Lord. Hallelujah. Gives you praise, Lord God.
Glory.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
This is a word from the Lord. This ankle thing is, I keep hearing that it was an encumbrance. It was a handicap. It was a physical manifestation of an encumbrance on your life. And this prayer, this word from your daughter is that it is gone. You are not encumbered. You are not handicapped. You are free. You are free indeed. In the name of Jesus.
You know, Millie, I was just sitting there and I was just thinking about more than your ankle. I was just thinking about everything. And God said to me, can you hold this for me? He said to me that these places that we find ourselves in, they're not always our fault, you know? But God takes these places and He uses them, whether it's the plate in the ankle that's going to be gone, whether it's life circumstances, He uses them and He gets us in this place. And guess what that place is? The place is that we get ready to receive the full blessings of God. The full blessings of God. And somehow when we have stuff around us, we're not able to receive all that He has for us. He has so much for you and your family, Millie. He has so much for you. If He cleans out things the way He's done, oh, what a big blessing is coming your way, my dear. And on your household, He will restore everything and more that the locusts have eaten and the enemy has taken. And I want you to just stand in that. That's His word. His word stands from the beginning to the end of time and beyond. Stand on that. Just stand on that.
Thank you.
break off all hexes, incantations, and curses that have been put upon you, that have been put upon your children through you. We send them back to where they came from. We break off all curses, hexes, and incantations, and send them back to where they came from. We break off all curses, hexes, and incantations, send them back to where they came from. Be free of these things, in Jesus' name.
Authority.
Yes.
Okay, we got to get an agreement here. It's like, you know, we have authority. Millie, I think the Lord is just saying you have authority. You know, we seem to think we get our authority from other sources outside and around, and I know I struggle with it. I know I'm always looking for some place to go. The bottom line is you're in that place. And I just want to take the spirit of what we received from Selma. And I just want you to receive it, Millie. Just receive that God has given you authority. He has given you authority in this church. He's given you authority in your family. He's given you authority at Hope Health Clinic. You are going to heal the sick. You're going to give sight to the blind. You, Millie Lynn, you. Not somebody else for you, but you, yourself. You are going to touch people. You are going to talk to people. You are going to see people. You are going to heal people. Hallelujah. You are going to be strong for people like you've always been, Millie, but it's going to be double fold. You're going to increase. God's government is on the increase. His authority is on the increase. Receive it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for Millie's life. Kundra, stir up her gift, God. Stir up the gift, God. Stir up the gifts, God. Use her, Lord God. Set her free, as my brother said, Lord God. Just let her bask in your freedom, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Kira and Maddie. Kundra, Sondela, Basondela. As Bridget was saying, we just continue to lift you up, child. As brothers and sisters say, we just break all the lies of the devil. Hallelujah. We think they're gone. We just fill it, Lord God. Fill her with your spirit. Fill her with your spirit, Lord God, that you would come to her in the night watches, Lord God, that you would visit her, Lord God, and that she would bow and worship you. That she would render her life towards you, Lord God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father.
Speak freedom to
you. He is your glory. He is your glory and the lifter of your head. Look to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I want to pray especially for Maddie. I believe there are things that have been spoken to you, Maddie, that you really believe is true because of the source from where those things came. Father God, I pray again for Maddie, Lord, that you would reveal truth to her, Lord. Things that have been spoken to her, Lord, that she believes to be so because of the source, Father. Sources that should be trusted, Lord. Words that should be held on because of the source. And I just break that now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let her know your truth and your truth alone, Father. Let her know to separate the source, God. Oh, yes. Woo!
Lord, total purity, Father, in the name of Jesus. Total purity, Father. And Lord, may she go to those sources and speak truth, Lord. May she speak truth where those sources have received lies, Father. May she go back and say, no, that's not so. That is not to be. That is not what Father said. That's not what the Word says. Let her be a student of your Word, God. That she will speak to those lies she's heard, Lord, maybe even all of her life. Let your truth reign, God. Let her be what she says she wants to be, with no compromise, in the name of Jesus. And may she never get away from it. No more playing church. The Lord says you will be what you say you want to be, and you will not get away from it. Because he doesn't play church. He never pretends. He takes us on our word, whether we're serious or not. And you are his daughter. You are his child. You are beautiful. Make sure you look for it from him and no other source. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, that prayer is for all the Lynns. It's for his whole family. Any more? I have one for Jennifer Addington. You have authority to take healing home to Walter. And Walter has, even though he's not here, has authority to bring healing over you. And we do. That's for you. That's a word of knowledge for you. I'd like to welcome you all. One more? Come on up, Sims.
Maddie did not want to say this, but while we were at the park, there was these two boys. They thought they couldn't believe in Christ because they weren't baptized. And so Maddie talked to them, and they like fell on the ground and started praying.
Amen. See what happened with young folks. Oh, Jennifer, you have to come up.
I think this is just for our church body. And I'm a behind-the-scenes kind of person, so I hate this. Okay, this speaks for the authority for all of us that we can do this. And it's kind of long. One body with many members. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. The body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in one body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Amen. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our presentable parts are threatened with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. As God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. All are apostles, all are prophets, all are teachers. Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
Amen. That way is love. You'd think you were at the conference because that was used there. Anybody else? Well, I'm going to welcome you to the Church of the Reconciler. Okay.
I have something to tell Victoria Antonello. This is probably just overstating the obvious, but I want the church to hear this too.
I just want you to know how important what you did this morning was. Yep. Okay, the Lord just gave me a sense. When you started doing that, bam, 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 bam. It's like things start. What was that thing? What word of the Lord came through Jonathan Gress? Things started falling off. Amen? Amen. And what she just said, every member of the body, it was like an arrow, sweetheart. It was like an arrow went through here and just pierced the darkness. And when you did that, all of this took place. Amen? Amen. Amen. I just wanted to shout out that God wants to use you young people to manifest himself in the earth, in this church, in your schools, in your friends. Amen? That's it. These young people, I'm crazy about these young people. Amen.
All right, we're going to stop there since we've taken a little while. We're going to do the gospel reading, and we're going to go straight into the sermon from there. So please stand for the reading of the gospel.